This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Humans of Excess Manchester with me, Clint Boone. Every week, we'll be celebrating the spirit of Manchester by speaking to somebody who's helped shape the city in some way or other. This week, I'm joined by one of the most iconic female Mancunians and star of the Happy Mondays, Rowetta. She's going to tell us about when she first fell in love with music.
I was into punk. I was a massive Crass fan. That was about 13, so none of my friends really were. Whenever I first saw the Sex Pistols on television with Anthony Wilson saying the best band in the world.
And she'll talk about how she met the band that would eventually change her life.
Because then I saw the Happy Mondays on Tony Wilson's show, The Other Side of Midnight, and I was like, I've got to sing with this band. They were doing performance, and I was like, I've got to sing with this. This is the band that I'm meant to sing with.
Gives a great pleasure to welcome to the studio a young lady that I first met about 30 years ago and we've had some great times over the decades. It is Rowetta. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you.
You're looking good.
Oh, thank you.
Looking very brilliant at the moment, very radiant.
I've been having early nights as much as possible. I've got dogs at home, so it's hard, but I've been trying to, when I'm at home, have early nights. So I spent a week in Amsterdam at a dance seminar and it just absolutely, it's proper full on. I'm not used to networking like that and singing that late at night each night. But it was brilliant for work. But you come home, you're like, I need a holiday. So my holiday really is staying at home and chilling in Manchester. And I love it. It makes me feel good when the weather's not too hot, as you can say about Manchester. So it suits me living here because, I can get stuff done and get as much sleep as I can and feel very, very comfortable.
Tell us about your dogs.
I've got a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, black and tan, and a Papillon, but one of them is getting on, he's nearly 13. Wow. So usually they don't last till past 10. So I'm really nursing him when I'm at home, but I'm enjoying nursing him. It's like having a baby again in a way. But you just don't want, obviously you don't want the worst to happen, but he's doing really well.
Cool. Well, we've got a little puppy called Dolly that we've probably told you about. She's 9 months old now, but she is definitely the new baby in the Boone house.
You're so lucky though when they're 9 months old, like mine is on the other end now at nearly 13, but yeah, I'm going to making sure his life's amazing, both of them. So, yeah.
Something really appealing about being Rowetta's dog.
Oh, no, they get massaged. I mean, I don't massage my boyfriends every morning. Not boyfriends. No, but I mean, I wouldn't massage a man every morning, but I massage him every morning. And, get up when I don't want to, go out when I'm working on my tunes. I go out and take them walks in the freezing cold. I just love them. But yeah, no, they do live a life of luxury. When I'm home, I weigh quite a lot though. So then they're looked after by my son. So, it's great being my dog. I want to come back as my dog.
Have you met Sean Ryder's dog, Malcolm the Beagle, yet?
I've seen a picture of him. Right. I don't really spend much time with Sean outside of work because I'm with him so much with the Mondays and stuff. And so we don't really socialise because then we probably start arguing again. But at the moment, we're getting on so well. I keep away from him and his dog when we're off work. But I love the fact that he's got a dog. We didn't have time for dogs and I always wanted one. And it's nice to know he loves his dog, Malcolm. Yeah.
Malcolm the Beagle, who likes scrambled eggs. Let's go back to the beginning, Rowetta. We're going to talk about Manchester. We'll talk about the Mondays again in a minute or two. But go back to where you were born, your upbringing. I know some of this stuff already. I know that you're a bit of a rebel at school. Tell us about your childhood in a nutshell. What was it? Paint us a little picture.
Well, I was born at Crumsall Hospital. My mum lived in Openshaw. My dad came over to study at Manchester University, civil engineering. And he was there for a couple of years. Then we moved to Miles Platin. Went to nursery in Miles Platin. I only remember because of the pictures, really, the photographs. I think I got in the TV Times, a really cute little girl I was in nursery. Mm. And at some point, my dad left and was going to send over for us to Nigeria, and he didn't. And I think he met someone else. But we got all our injections, I remember that, to go over to Nigeria, but it never happened. And then my mum moved on quite a few times.
Tell us about your mum and dad, because your dad was African.
From Nigeria. He just came over to study. I think we met at a wedding. My mum's Jewish. And my mum had been married before, but yeah, they fell in love, met at a wedding, fell in love, had me. And I think, I really do think I was going to go over there with my mum. We had a lot of injections, as I said, but I don't really know why we never went over in the end, but I'm really glad we didn't. I'm glad that I stayed in Manchester. It's meant to be. And that's it, really. We moved to Cheetham Hill when I went to primary school. We moved in with my Auntie Sheila. We lived We lived upstairs, and my aunt Sheila and her family lived downstairs in a terrace house just near Temple School. So that's where I went and was brought up there. Exactly the same school my mum went to. I think my grandma went there as well. So it's nice that I went to the same school, Temple and Cheetham Hill. And he had a great time there. And then my mum got married to someone who didn't like Cheetham Hill. He was a little bit racist, but it was quite funny because he was black. He was from Barbados. But when somebody Asian moved next door, he wanted to move. I didn't even realise. I was like, what's wrong with you? But I didn't realise he was a bit racist himself. So we moved and we moved to Prestwich. And I loved it there. We had a great, great time. But I've loved everywhere up until a certain point. I loved my childhood. I had a great time. I had great friends. Very, very bubbly, very sociable. So I used to hang about with a lot of boys and playing football.
And you ended up, was it Bury Grammar School?
I did, yeah. There was only, I think, three or four of us passed. And my best friend passed, Sharon. But her parents decided to buy a new house instead of paying school fees for one kid. My mum and my stepdad, because I really wanted to go, and my real dad was so happy that I'd passed this for this private school. The way they were so happy that I'd passed for this school just for clever kids was made me want to go. But it meant I wouldn't have any of my mates coming from school, and it was difficult. But I went to Bury Grammar. The school fees, I think, were about 600 quid a term, and it's a lot of money back then when I was 11. And it caused a lot of problems. You could hear my mum and stepdad arguing because my dad was supposed to pay. And the school fees went up every year as well, and I wasn't having a great time. There was loads of rich girls that I really got on with well. I think Patrizia Bacci, her dad owned Salford Van Hire. His dad often took me to school and picked me up in his Rolls Royce. That was nice. And so it was great, and I got on with all them girls really well. But I loved boys and I missed boys. It was a girls' school. And we ate our dinner or our lunch in the canteen across the road in the boys' school and went swimming in the boys' school. So I always used to chat to the boys, and I always got in trouble for saying hello to boys, which I think is ridiculous. I mean, literally just saying hello, I could have done a lot worse. So I'd started to rebel against that a bit. And then things weren't going on well at home, so I started to rebel. I had these little dogs, I used to take them to school with me to assembly. I just started to get in trouble a little bit, but over nothing, it really was over nothing. It was, in the end, I had to leave. And I left before she kicked me out, but she says, "You're expelled." And I went, "It's too late, I've already left, I already packed my stuff. I've got my hockey stick in my bag to take away home with me." Because the school fees were too much as well. I could see it was a strain. Yeah. I was hating school. A friend of ours, or somebody died, this lady I was helping out with. So I just didn't want to go to school the same way. And my mum was busy doing what she was doing when my mum and my stepdad split up. So I don't know. It just went a bit wrong at school. But it's fine because I ended up being able to sing. But
when did the singing start, Roetta?
Not till way after that. Probably when I was... I got sacked from the choir. Well, not sacked, I didn't really get in the choir at Bury Grammar. And I was always told to mine because I stood out too much. And I think Shirley Bassey had the same thing. It was just because I stood out, and instead of trying to nurture that talent, just one teacher just put me off singing. And I think it was in the first year. So I thought, all right, then I'll learn the trumpet and join the brass band. And then I just didn't keep up. I think I started glue sniffing, so I had to stop. Stops everything, and I didn't sing. And then this woman heard me sing, the lady I was talking about that died. She owned a pub across the road. My mum was working there to earn a bit more money to pay for my school fees, to help out with the school fees, because it was just killing these school fees, especially when my mum and stepdad split up. So, yeah, she got a bar job, and I used to sing upstairs to this lady who was dying of cancer, and she was saying, "Go downstairs in that pub, it's called the Bay Horse in Sunnybank in Unsworth." And I went downstairs and sang on the stage and just got the book. I don't even know, I sang something rubbish, it's nothing special, but the amazing round of applause, it was fantastic. So then I entered a talent competition in Butlins, and then you realise you can win a free holiday every time you win, so I kept winning. Yeah, and I sang comedy songs with a guitar, just playing about four chords, C, D, E, A minor. I couldn't play many chords anyway, but I managed to play a lot of Five Penny Piece songs from Lancashire. Yeah, well, I tell thee, Dick, did me really well. And stupidly, when I got to the final at Butlins, I changed my song to a serious song because somebody advised it. I think it was No Regrets by Edith Piaf, and I should have just stuck to my comedy songs. And I got beaten by a comedy lad, I think. But I did well with the in the talent competitions at Butlins.
And what sort of music, I'm assuming before that you were probably inspired by music, what was the first music you loved?
I loved punk, I loved Crass specifically. I've actually got a T-shirt in my bag from Steve Ignorant's new range that he's sent me. So I was a massive Crass fan. That was about 13. So none of my friends really were. A lot of my friends at Berry Grammar, they were into, in Rochdale, we used to go to Rochdale College, but a lot of them were into rock music. First gig would have been Whitesnake with some lad just because I fancied him, because a lot of them were into rock music, but I was into punk. So I used to fancy anyone who was into the same music as me, but there weren't very many. It's just, if I spotted a lad with a T-shirt on that said, made a statement or... Yeah, it was around the Sex Pistols. It was I was only really young, 11 or something like that, must have been, when I was first into punk. But whenever I first saw the Sex Pistols on television on with Anthony Wilson saying the best band in the world, but Crass I got into heavily. I used to listen to Mother Earth on loop, Stations of the Crass, just all the time, quietly, because nobody appreciated the music. I just got the message from the lyrics so much. I love the fact that it said something, it made a statement. That the way that punks dressed made a statement until everyone started to dress the same. So then you're not making a statement anymore. Everybody's wearing leopard skin and tartan. It's not right. I wear tartan, always have done, so I love tartan. But the safety pins and all that, like, it got too much. It started to look like a fashion, which is everything that I hated.
Do you remember when the tabloids started doing little pullouts on how to dress like a punk?
No, I can't.
That's when I thought.
I don't think I'd have got just... I wouldn't have got tabloids probably, but.
Late 77, 78, and they started doing, in the Daily this and the, you know, Daily.
Yeah, I wouldn't, because that's what the song that I used to listen to was about, the Daily Star. Myra Hindley's on the cover, your very own sweet auntie mother. There she is on the front of the Star. Ain't that just the place you wish you were? It's like loads of people want to be famous. And Myra Hindley was on the cover of all these papers. I hated all those papers. Why is she on the cover? Why? And a lot of people want to be on the cover of these papers. Mm. It's all messed up. The world was all messed up then and it still is now.
How did you end up in the Happy Mondays then? How did that happen?
Oh God, that's years later. Well, I'd sung first... jumping ahead, got married, had children, been in a battered wives home, came out of the battered wives home, started again in Manchester, and then wasn't really singing anymore. I'd sung a bit in working men's clubs when I was with my ex-husband, but I had to give him the money, so it was like really just rubbish. Again, winning talent competitions or getting like 50 quid to 100 quid for doing a gig for half an hour. I remember my first gig I got was getting £50 through an agent at a working men's club. I got it after doing a talent competition. And they wanted half an hour. I'd only got 20 minutes in sheet music. So that's all they were getting. And I got away with doing that for about a year. Yeah, really. I enjoyed it though. My mum used to drive me everywhere. Even when I had a baby, when I had Georgina, the baby came with me in the car and put her in the dressing room with my mum. So I did that for, probably about a year or two till I couldn't really sing anymore. But and then I started again when I came out of the refuge and then started going to Hacienda. I got a pass. I sang with Mike Pickering and Graham Park. They were called Dynasty of Two. I got spotted, I think Dave Rove heard me singing behind a bar So I sang in his group Vanilla Sound called Roger Lyons, a lot of people know, and Simon Crompton. It's really, I can't remember. This is all before the Mondays though. And then we got spotted by Bruce Mitchell, who was doing the lights at the boardwalk where you used to rehearse, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right.
So Bruce Mitchell was doing the lights on my first gig with Vanilla Sound Corps. He thought it was amazing. I just remember sitting on the stage and then when I stood up, my tights were stuck to the nails on the stage. And it was all like suspenders and he always dressed very punk. Well, that's how I like to dress anyway. And he just thought it was mad. And I remember him saying, you need to be managed by Elliot. He got in touch with Elliot. Or he told Elliot needed to manage me. Elliot's office was next door to Happy Monday's office, Nathan's office. So it was all very coincidental because then I saw the Happy Mondays on Tony Wilson's show, The Other Side of Midnight. And I was like, I've got to sing with this band. They were doing performance. And I was like, I've got to sing with this. This is the band that I'm meant to sing with. Because I just couldn't work out what sort of band. I mean, there's polystyrene. I could see me fronting a band like that.
X-ray specs.
Yeah, I could see me being a bit like that or Selector maybe. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at Blondie, certainly. Debbie Harry was a massive role model.
But Chrissy Hynde as well was on who was.
Chrissy Hynde. Yeah. So all those were my favourites. So I just couldn't see. It was like, it just seemed like hard work getting all that together. Because a lot of these people, they've grown up with the lads that they're in the band with or... I don't know. There was no way of putting a band like that together. It's before the internet. It'd be easy to do it now. Mm. I could just go, right, I want him in it and I want him to contact them. But it was too hard to get hold of people or to start again and try and meet people. Remember, I'd left all my friends behind in Bury and starting again. So it was like, I didn't know where to start. And then this band, this ready-made band that's made for me to sing with. And I just thought, I just straight away thought T-Rex. and and how Gloria, what she when she came into the band with Mark Bolan, how she, in my eyes, improved some of the songs, lifted it all up, made a lot of, well, gave them a different audience.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought I could do this with this band, because I listened to all their old stuff, Cuff Jam and stuff like that, and I just loved them.
Yeah.
And I just thought, this is the band for me. All I've got to do is persuade them and the manager. And it took me a bit. It took me about 6 months, but I did it.
Did it? So you had to like keep knocking on the door?
Well, yeah. Well, luckily, my office, Elliot's office was next door. So I used to go. I mean, I had kids at school. And I just, luckily, I didn't drive on purpose, really. So I didn't have to pick them up. I just went home and put the tea out. But yeah, I just used to sit in the office for most of the day and just go home to make the tea. And
it's amazing, isn't it, that you could see the potential of that relationship before the band could. It was your in
it
your
was
mind.
It was meant to be, especially with Tony Wilson saying it, because years ago he'd got me into punk, really, by saying this is the greatest band in the world, the Sex Pistols. And I just happened to see that particular programme and became and got into punk. So when he said it again years later about Happy Mondays, it just all made sense. It was like, that's a sign.
Yeah.
It got me into punk. A lot of people saw that programme with the Sex Pistols. A lot of singers, certainly, and a lot of black singers wouldn't have gone, oh, that's the sort of thing I want to do. That wouldn't make you, because I mean, my mum's record collection wasn't great, but even the Motown stuff never made me want to be a singer. I just didn't want to be a singer because I've been put off by this stupid music teacher years before. By the way, I have to thank a drama teacher in my last year, and it was at Unsworth Comp when I left Berry Grammar. And she was called Mrs. Roach, and she spotted my voice, my potential, and started building musicals around me. And that I used to wag school like I don't know what, but I tell you what, I would go in for my musical, and because we did a jazz opera, Trouble in Tahiti, which was all around me. There's only five people in the cast. We did Threepenny Opera. All of a sudden, my roles went from, you know, not even being in it to, oh, we need to start doing roles that will suit Rowetta in a school. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And especially because I was a naughty girl. I mean, I'd been in the Arndale and I'd be like, I've got to go and do my music rehearsals. I've been in the Arndale all day when I should have been at school, but I would rush back to rehearse for my musical because it was dead important to me.
So fast forward to now, the Mondays have been back together for many years. You're getting on better than ever.
Yeah, since 2012, which is amazing. It was We only reformed and you were there for one tour. You were special guest in Spiral Carpets and it was only meant to be one tour. And I thought we'd be lucky if we last the tour before we've met. And now, 6 years later, it's fantastic. We're about to tour Australia and New Zealand, but we're just getting on really well. Myself and Bez are doing offshoots and on the 6 day God Created Manchester, we've got a new club night that we're doing. Graham Park's doing one with us and K Class. So we're going to be doing that. And we can be doing that. I was thinking we're going to be doing that in our 60s. We can still be doing that because we love it. You know, as you can do what you do, we can do it when we're older. So it's fantastic. It's just because me and Bez just spend so much time together and love each other. It just makes sense. And when he was doing a gig in Bologna and I just turned up and got on stage with him and he loved that. So he did the same to me. I had a gig in an after party in Dublin. And then when I got there, I was a little bit late after seeing all my friends after our gig. Got there and Bessie's on stage and he's not being paid and he's just doing it. So we just said, and people love it when it's the two of us. So we're doing it. I'm going to be doing lots of singing. He's going to be doing Bez what Bez does.
Yeah.
And to spend so much time with your best friend doing what you, because we party anyway. I go to his nights anyway. He comes to mine. I remember, I think it was last Halloween, he came all dressed up to my night. Because he wasn't working, he turned up at mine. No, it's lovely. It's lovely because when he's on stage, I want to be up there with him, and he's vice versa.
It's funny watching you with the Mondays. I think it's fair to say this. I think most spectators, more fans would agree, and I'm sure the rest of the band agree. When you watch the band on stage these days, you are very much the glue holding the whole thing together. And I'm saying that with all respect.
Oh, thank you.
Do you feel like the glue?
Yeah, I mean, I did use to a little bit, but it was all so much messier back in the day.
Yeah.
Everything was... It was like it was supposed to be a mess before. But now it's fun, and the respect that I think everybody across the board with the band gives each other is amazing. So I'm really credited for all that now. You know, and I do try and go to rehearsals as much as possible, even though I'm not needed really, because I know my bits backwards. I am a proper practicer myself. So when I turn up at rehearsal, I know everything that I'm going to be doing backwards. And all these gigs, I do work really hard to make sure they're all fabulous. If there's a different arrangement, I like to try and add my bits now, which is great. Some of them are turning into dance tunes because I do a lot of house music. So I'm just very, very comfortable with the band right now. And we do lots of, not spin-offs, but I've done bits with Gaz, bits with Mark Day, bits with Dan Broad. So bits with different members, apart from Sean, really, because Sean does his Black Grape thing. But yeah, so I work with them outside of the of the Mondays.
But like a collective then, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And it's like, I'm trying to take a step back. I think Gaz was saying, did I want to sing with his new thing? But you can do too much sometimes. Mm. And because he's doing Monday's tunes, I think it should really do it and keep it unplugged if that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like writing new stuff though. We're still waiting for the Mondays. We need to start doing some new stuff. Hopefully that'll happen next year.
Let's talk about Manchester a bit. So do you think there's a special spirit in this part of the world, in the people?
It certainly was. Now, the problem with Manchester now is full of people not from Manchester. But it's only because I'm old school. One of the reasons I love Manchester is the Mancunians. But now you've got to sift them out a bit more. I'm lucky that I know quite a lot of Mancunians. But even my daughter lives in London, you know, and she's more of a London-y type of person now. I just love the humour, the sarcasm. And if you're with people that aren't from Manchester, they don't get it. And there's even some Mancunians that have turned a bit London for me. You know, some of my friends have turned a bit money orientated and stuff. And I hate all that. The thing about Manchester is you can live on nothing. You can live on nothing. And the weather can be horrible outside. You work hard and you look after your family and that's it. And you have a laugh. You laugh about your problems because there's nothing else you can do. And a lot of people forget that. No matter what, I can say some days I don't like Manchester or the way it's turning out, but then the next day I love it because I'm back with my Mancunians. If you can find them, it's brilliant. You know, like if you find the little old pubs, you have to go to places like Moston sometimes though. Some of the, like if you go to Didsbury now, it's full of people not from Manchester really. But I still like it, but when you're going for lunch, it's not the same as we used to go for our dinner, pie or chippy. But I still, when I come back home, I want chippy tea. I want Manchester people. It's hard because it's fantastic what's happened. The regeneration of Manchester is fantastic, but I was quite happy with how it was before because of the people. So as long as there are still some real Manx that stay here and stay Mancunian and don't let the people that come in change you, then I'll be happy.
Well, they can create even more beautiful Mancunians like your mum and dad did.
Well, yeah, it's full of southerners.
You know what I mean? It's like they're from opposite ends of the world and they created one of the ultimate Mancunian women.
Yeah, definitely. But I've never left Manchester. And it's like I was brought up on Urina Sharples type of women and that humour. And quite often I still meet women like that all the time, especially at airports when they're going to Tenerife for holidays and stuff. And they talk about, it's the way they, and they think, feel like they know me. And after about 2 minutes, I feel like I know them. And they've heard me on the radio or they've seen me on the telly or whatever. And you start chatting. And those are the Mancunians that keep me here and make me love Manchester. So hopefully all the kids don't turn. Because the problem is the kids are all turning into these fame hungry animals. And where money means everything and fame. And it's just, it's horrible. It should be about people and families and love and dogs and real things. and, you know, like, if you've not got anything, pretend you have. Pretend you haven't, act like you have. Act like you've got, you know, everything in the world, even if you haven't. And, you know, put a smile on your face, even if you're sad deep down, and make sure you've got someone to talk to. That's what Manchester should be about.
Mm. So there's no chance of you ever moving away. You don't get the desire to live elsewhere.
Yeah, I keep saying though I'm never going to leave, so I think I've messed myself up. No, it's just literally my mum's here. So my mum's 80 now, but she's in really good health, so hopefully she'll live a lot longer. But I wouldn't live anywhere as long as my mum's alive. My son lives here and doesn't really travel, so I wouldn't mind living somewhere sometimes. I don't like the heat though. I'm away in Spain a lot, but for the people again, because I love the people. And I love the place, but I don't love it when it's boiling hot. I mean, I've been in Ibiza a lot this summer, but that's for work. And I'm there usually 2 days because of the heat. I could see myself living somewhere like that because it's 2 hours away and having a place here. So I don't mind having a place there, but I would hope I'd stay in Manchester as well. I've got dogs here, so I can't leave. But yeah, no, it's the first time this year I started to think, you know what, I could probably live somewhere else. And I never thought that before. I thought I'd die here, but I don't really mind if I don't die in Manchester. It doesn't matter. I'm still Mancunian and
still
love
it. We'll bring you back.
I'll be buried here. Well, spread here probably. But
we'll have a whip round to get you back.
I actually don't want to be in Lake Garda probably, but and then nobody will come and visit me. But I really don't care. Once you've gone, haven't you? I think the legacy is my voice, hopefully, and hopefully people remember that. I mean, he's a good person and anything good I do, that's important. And there's plenty of years to do that yet. But yeah, that's important. And it will. I always put Manchester first and I always will. Before anything, so even if I moved, I'd still be over here. And I don't think I could sell my house. I wouldn't want to. I don't want when I leave completely. And as I say, my son's here probably forever. So, and I love my son so much. My daughter lives in London, which is terrible. I want to disown her, but what can I do? I very rarely visit her. She's like, oh, you never come and see me. You live in London, love. You decided. Yeah, you want to see me? I'm in Manchester or Spain.
What are your favourite places in Manchester for hanging out and walking your dogs and stuff like that?
I don't like telling people, to be honest, because I like places where nobody knows. where I am. So that's it. So if I tell people, I just really don't like telling people. People see me all the time shopping. They always try and guess where I am when I put a picture of me walking my dogs. I love it because it's always an empty park or an empty field or an empty by the water. But if I find myself a little place, that's where I like to go. Even nights out, I don't really care now. I like to see bands when there's somebody wants to see. Mm-hmm. I don't have favourites like I used to have. Obviously, the Hacienda and stuff back then, but there's nowhere. No, nothing replicates it. The Hacienda nights aren't the same as the Hacienda. The Hacienda was a one-off and the people, again, made it what it was. Obviously, I love South.
Yeah, South Nightclub.
It never changes, you know. So I like South. I like things that never change, really. Mm. Wherever my mates are, that's where I like.
Let's talk about the Hacienda briefly. Can you remember how you felt when it shut down, got demolished, etc.?
I was more bothered, rather than when it shut down, I was more bothered when it changed and it went terrible. I stopped going, to be honest. Mm. So when it shut down, it didn't really do anything to me. It was when it changed, when my mates were being battered in the queue, when it just became a hostile place to go.
Yeah.
And I just stopped going. For me, it was great up until about 92. Mm. 93 at the latest. I don't think I went after that. My memories of Hacienda are all, my great memories were about 3 years, 89 is when I first went in, and I probably stopped going 93. I remember coming home and Rob Gretton had passed, and there was rest in peace, Rob. I remember our tour bus came around the corner. I remember after that, I don't remember enjoying it the same way after that, to be honest.
Let me ask you about who are your favourite humans of Manchester, past or present?
Oh, I just mentioned one, Rob Gretton. Certainly Tony Wilson obviously affected my life so much and became a friend. My best friend, Ross McKenzie, who's fantastic for Manchester. He was the Black Dog, he was the Liars Club. But what it was, one of the reasons I love him, when I met him, I was walking along Whitworth Street. I was going to Hacienda, it must have been in 1990, I think. It was before I'd sung with Happy Mondays, though, so maybe the end of 89. And he was handing out flyers trying to get me to go into Brick House. And I was going, as if I go there, and I'm going to Hacienda. And I kept this flyer, he was just promoting it, and he was like a student-y type kid. And then I just found it in my bag the week after, and it was like, oh, I'm not doing anything on Monday. There's something going on Monday. And we became best friends, and that was like 30 years ago. So, yeah it's just amazing. So he's one of my favourite Mancunians, and I love what he's done for Manchester, as I said. Mm. Comes from a posh background, but he's done it all himself, and I like that.
Yeah.
So, and obviously, all the Stone Roses, all the other groups in Spiral Carpets, obviously, all of you. Gilly was a friend and used to DJ some of the nights with us at Morecambe Dome, which I think is gone now as well. So I've got great memories of that. Loads of Mancunians. Anybody in music? I love Liam. I love Liam Gallagher. I love Bonehead. But you just sound like you're name dropping if you just say band people. Steve Coogan, I've worked with on 24 Hour Party People as a famous person, but I just got on with him as well.
Mm.
And I love that, all that period. I think I was only needed for about 4 days, and I spent 8 weeks with them every night. I used to swap beds with different band members. I was in, and the wives knew as well. Being Danny Cunningham, who played Sean, I'd be in his room one night in his bed. Each side, I've been not sleeping with him. And it was just like the real band. Chris Coghill used to sleep with him a lot.
Topping and tailing, that's what they call it.
Well, we didn't top and tail, just sat talking next to each other like an old, like Bert and Ernie.
Yeah.
I used to do it with the real band, and I did it with that band, the pretend band. So it was a bit surreal, but loads of fun. I still do with Chris Coghill. We've been on holiday together and everything, but as mates, considering he played Bez, that's quite funny. So he's one of my favourite Mancunians. And he wrote the film Spike Island, and which I thought was amazing. They got the great director who did the Oasis film as well.
What about football? You're a big United fan. So who are your favourite iconic United players?
Well, he's French, but he's Eric Cantona. Oh, yeah. He's my favourite, without a doubt. And he loves Manchester so much.
Yeah.
He comes all the time, and he talks as if he's never played for anybody but Manchester, and he talks as if he's from Manchester, really. So I love him. He loves the Mancunians. He was actually here, though, when Manchester, in my opinion, was still great, but it was still very Mancunian.
Mm-hmm.
And Sir Alex Ferguson, obviously, Scottish, but he's Mancunian and lives in Manchester, and I'm sure he always will. I love him. Him and Eric Cantona got me so much into football. Ridiculously. But I love Ryan Giggs, who does so much for Manchester, Gary Neville. I see them out all the time. Paul Scholes, because they're still here and they're still helping out with football as well. They make loads of money, but they can make loads of money anywhere. They can build hotels anywhere. They can have schemes anywhere. So Bobby Charlton, people like that, because my son did a scheme with him. Well, unfortunately, it was no Eric Cantona, which I thought he was good. He was very fast, but I think he was better at rugby, actually. So yeah, I've got so many favourite Mancunians. So like, if you talked about the musicians, you go on for days. So it's, and same with football. Anybody who's done United proud You know, but you know, I've got friends in that played for City that I do charity work with, so you know, they just have to forget that the Blues.
You've named about 20 there, and that's perfect. Some of the names you mentioned there are exactly what this podcast is all about. So people like Cantona and Ferguson, yeah, who aren't from here, but they are very much part of what Manchester.
Well, yeah,
like,
as you know, really, if you got the keys to the city, they should have it without a doubt.
And Bruce Mitchell, you know, you mentioned Bruce Mitchell earlier on. I'm going to get him in as a guest.
Vinnie Riley, I love it. Do you know, I sang with Vinnie Riley once as well. We sang Yesterday by the Beatles.
Amazing.
I know. I wish I think it was recorded, so I'd love to find that. I wonder if Conrad has it, maybe. I'd just love to find that. But I love Conrad Murray as well. And SJM, Simon Moran's done a lot for the city. So people like that, yeah, who we don't really, not everybody knows the names of, but Conrad's amazing. It's like, he's a great manager, and he really does well for. If I was going to get someone to manage me, it would have been Conrad.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah,
like a young girl. I'd be going, well, if I think I've said as an old girl, if you're ever going to manage anybody, but, obviously I manage myself, but Conrad is just, I love him.
Yeah,
he even
cute.
Got me to sing with Blossoms on a live lounge, which was amazing. So, and they were, you know, I love Blossoms. And what he's done with the Cortinas, I think, is really good. He's just a great manager.
And like I said, the best thing, SJM as a whole, Conrad is part of the SJM,
yeah,
team. They've stayed in this city. They're just up the road from here.
Exactly.
And they're not going anywhere. They're just staying here, making the place better. I just want to ask you one more question, Rowetta. Describe Manchester in three words.
Real. Sarcastic. Funny.
That'll do.
Can I say lovable? Nosy lovable. I can't do three.
That'll do. That's fine.
Thank you.
Rowetta, thanks for being our guest on Humans of Excess Manchester.
You're very welcome.
Love you loads.
Love you too.
And that was Rowetta. Make sure you join us next week, where I'll be speaking to Manchester poet Tony Walsh. Don't forget to follow us on social media. We are at Humans Excess, and subscribe to Humans of Excess Manchester. Rate us and feel free to leave us a comment. Thanks for listening. See you next week.